thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Wally, Will, and Ray are in the building for the first time together in weeks. What's good, fam?
Technical difficulties with my voice.
Technical difficulties.
We have
some technical difficulties. Wally is not on right now, but Will, what's happening?
Nothing much, man. How do you get to open up the show? You haven't been here in like 4 weeks.
You weren't here the previous 4 weeks before.
I wasn't here for maybe two of those weeks.
I've been here two weeks.
I'm not counting, man. We're not a competition.
It's not a competition necessarily. It's just real talk.
It is. With the Urban Sports Scene.
Hey, we actually use that. All Skins Dirty Things. Check that podcast out too. Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM, Hopewell, Virginia. Now I get to do this part. Will T, let's get into our tradition.
The pregame.
What are our topics tonight? This is supposed to be you, Wally.
It is.
So we're going to have host of the In-N-Out Sports Show on WOL Radio, Coach Butch McAdams, going to join us to talk March Madness at 8:20. Host of the Quarterly Report, Armon Lee, is going to join the show to talk IBF welterweight Errol Spence retaining his title by defeating Mikey Garcia in what was a massacre. As he said, it will be one disappointed with that. I know, Will, you got a lot to say about that fight. Finally, 8:30, we're going to put together a bracket as a team tonight.
The perfect bracket.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't like take L's. I would try to do my own. But we're going to put together a March Madness bracket as a team to see how we can do and compete against the rest of the country. Hopefully, we all agree that Duke is going to win the championship. We'll see, right?
We'll see. It's going to be interesting, that last pick.
Who you got, Will? You can reveal it right now, for real.
I haven't even made a bracket. I haven't even paid no attention. But if I had to, I would pick North Carolina over Duke.
Ooh. Oh, man. All right. Well, like I said, we'll get there.
Held my feet to the fire. Yep.
All right. But first, as I mentioned, we currently have Hall of Fame coach, host of the In-N-Out Sports Show on WOL Radio 1450, Butch McAdams, joining the show. Coach, what's going on, man?
Man, I'm so honored to be on your show, and thanks for the invite.
Absolutely. Coach, you've been in the game for decades, whether on the sideline or on the radio. Just describe how you feel around March. When March rolls around, what's your excitement level and just what's your emotions?
Well, I tell you, I love it. Being a basketball guy, as you stated, man, I've been involved and been in love with the great game of hoops, man, since I was 9 years old. And so having the opportunity to go back and see some of the great, great players and great matchups throughout history, I love this time of the year. Some years, it's clear cut that one or two teams are so dominant that barring a miracle, they're going to win. Last year, it was easy for me to predict Villanova.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Villanova, and I said, look, they've got the best combination of experience and talent in the nation. They were playing their best ball at the right time, and I picked them. This year, your guess is as good as mine. I mean, you've got the maybe six teams, a half dozen teams that could do it, but they're all flawed, in my opinion. Duke, they're talented. They're extremely talented. And if they play for six games at the top, they're going to win. However, they've got freshmen, and they have some flaws where they are not consistent jump shooters from three-point range. They're not consistent in making their free throws, and they depend heavily on two players. So they have flaws. North Carolina could possibly be the best team, but, you know, they have their flaws. So it could go in so many different directions. Tennessee, how good are they? Virginia, do they have the scoring ability that they lacked last year? Last year, as I predicted Villanova would win, I said straight out, this Virginia team is not going to win it. Now, I didn't predict they would go out in the first round, but I saw, you know, because if I could do that, then, man, I would, you know, just go ahead and pick the Powerball and relax for the rest of my life. Yeah, but, you know, St. Peter doesn't whisper in my ear, so I'm guessing like everybody else. But it's an intelligent guess. And last year, Virginia, while they played very good defense, very good team ball, they didn't have the ability to come from behind in the second half if they were to get behind by double digits. Well, this year, they've got DeAndre Hunter, and they have more scoring, so they can do it. They could reach the Elite Eight, maybe even the Final Four, but I don't see them winning. Gonzaga, maybe a wild card, because they've got the combination of experience, maturity, and talent. But this March, in terms of the tournament, it will truly be madness.
Coach, I think what you're describing is exactly the conversation we had prior to the show.
Sure did.
About, we don't know who's going to win it. We think we know the favorite, which is Duke. Duke appears to be a consensus favorite. But as you identify, they are flawed. And I was telling my man Wally here that I thought that this was Coach K's worst coaching job I've seen. Like, I haven't seen him make adjustments. He's been overly reliant on two players that you just identified, really even one. Uh-huh. When Zion went out, then he was heavily reliant on Barrett. But I think that obviously with you saying that, it shows of how many of us feel about this year's tournament. But that also is what makes it so intriguing. And it makes March Madness, in my opinion, the second most anticipated sporting event behind the Super Bowl. But coming closer to home, we got the Terrapins. They are a sixth seed in the East region. What did you think about their seeding?
Well, I think the Terrapins are underachievers big time. Big time. They have underachieved. Wow. And listen, coach, it starts with the head coach. What is their culture? See, most successful teams develop a culture, and then they just put players year in and year out to fit that culture. When Georgetown University were in power under Big John, you knew what the culture was, that they were going to press you and pound you and pound you, and they had a big, dominant player on both offense and defense. When you played UNLV, you know what their culture was. Up and down the court, taking jump shots. Arkansas. And I say that to say, what is the culture of Maryland? Mm-hmm. Because these guys are so inconsistent. It is inexcusable from a basketball standpoint for the Terrapins to lose to a Nebraska team last week that only had six. I count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 scholarship players. And they made no adjustments when they lost to Michigan. And they were celebrating, I think, 100 years or something. At their place, the electricity was there. The fans were there. Gary Reeves came back. A lot of the alumni came back. But they lost the game because Coach Turgeon makes no adjustments or very little adjustments in the middle of the game. And so, Maryland on paper, they certainly should win a game or two, but this team has not displayed consistency to win more than two games this year.
All right, Coach, I knew how you felt about Turgeon prior to you coming on with us. And I think this season, many of the basketball analysts, fans, whoever, are attributing some of the struggles and inconsistencies to Maryland's youth. They have a young team. So
I don't buy that. Excuse me. You know what? I always say the only thing that age counts in wine, cheese, and sometimes dating, but not in basketball.
No.
Because when's the last time someone said, well, you know what? That Duke team sure is young.
Yeah, you're right about that.
And most of your teams now, the nature of the NCAA, especially the premier teams, you're going to have freshmen and sophomores. And, excuse me. Uh-huh. And Maryland has a point guard who's a junior, I believe, correct?
Anthony Cowan.
Right. And they have a post player that's a second-year player, correct?
Bruno Fernando, yep.
Yeah, he's supposed to be NBA player, NBA caliber.
Right. Uh-huh. So start with, not you guys, but for the coach, I'm tired of hearing we're the fourth youngest team in the nation. No, you're not. Come on. Make adjustments. I'm watching when they had Michigan on the ropes, so to speak. They had the momentum. And they come down and take ill-advised bad shots. When Michigan's point guard, Simpson, goes to the bench, they bring in a guy who hadn't played a lot of minutes. And I'm saying, wow, you got an inexperienced point guard. You're at home. You got a sellout building. Press these guys. Press them. They don't do it. They make no defensive adjustments. And finally, how does a team score 20 points and a half? You tell me.
Yeah, well, again, that is where I do question Coach Turgeon, some of his lineups. I like Aaron Wiggins off the bench, the shooting he brings. I don't understand why they don't get to the free throw line more. That's one of the biggest issues that I have had with Coach Turgeon. But from a broader perspective, Coach, you know, looking beyond just right here in the nation, in DMV, I should say, not this is the nation's capital.
About Georgetown. That's
but,
about.
Well, yeah, Georgetown obviously is not in the tournament. But I'm just wanting to get your perspective on the number one seeds. I know you gave us some insight as to just the uncertainty of this year's tournament, but what did you think of the four number one seeds, three being from the ACC and one with some local ties, I guess, in Virginia?
Well, I think you could possibly question Gonzaga and the number one seed, especially losing to St. Mary's. Uh-huh. But other than that, those three, Virginia, North Carolina, and Duke, they're solid number ones. Uh-huh. Solid number ones. And Gonzaga's been there at the top for most of the year. Uh-huh. So they got it right in terms of the number ones, the four number ones.
So, Coach, this is Wally. I had one question about that. If sure. Not Gonzaga, which team would you give a one seed to?
Well, I mean, you can look at the next level in terms of the twos.
Uh-huh. Tennessee, I like Tennessee.
Yeah, there's a two.
Tennessee, Kentucky.
Yeah, Kentucky could have been a one. Uh-huh. Michigan could very easily be a one now that they have their players back. Uh-huh. And Michigan State, it's a bad game.
Yeah. They won the conference tournament. Yeah, definitely Michigan State. Yeah.
All right, Coach. Well, I'm thinking that beyond just the number one seeds, you mentioned the two seeds. Who do you think provides that biggest potential for an upset just in the tournament as a whole?
Well, you know, upset is such a relative term. I don't know if we're going to see anything comparable to what we witnessed last year when a 16 defeats a one. But I wouldn't want to play Michigan State. I wouldn't want to play Michigan. You know, I think, again, as I just mentioned, this time of the year, you rely heavily on your guards. And, you know, Cassius Winston, tremendous guard. Sampson, tremendous guard for Michigan State and University of Michigan. You know, it's going to be good. If I'm coaching against Duke, okay, and my first strategy would be to lock Zion in his hotel room. But that didn't work. Okay. Now, if that didn't work, my next strategy would be we would work on every time he touches the ball, whether it's on the wing, at the low post, I would send a double defender at him. But it would be from a strategic standpoint. I would say, let's look at the shooting percentages. These guys don't shoot very well. Okay, so anyone with the exception of maybe Barrett. If you're guarding Barrett, you may want to stay with him. But everybody else, leave your man. Okay? Double on Zion to get the ball possibly out of his hands. And if those other guys beat us, then God bless us. That's the first strategy A. Strategy B would be, and you guys may think this is crazy, but I would do it. On offense, I would tell my players and give them directives to attack him consistently in the first half. Mm. Now, he's going to block some, but also I am betting that he picks up two fouls. So I would double down on him, and I would attack him on the defensive side of the ball.
Coach, you sound like you're ready to get out there again. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene right now.
Listen. I got my coaching record is better than Coach K, Roy Williams, all of them. And listen, in the last 12 years, I've got one of the best coaching records in the country. I'm undefeated.
Okay.
That's what Dickie V, when I interviewed Dickie V a couple of months ago, Dick Vitale, he said, look, my record is better than Coach K's and Roy Williams in the last 20 years. I said, Coach V, you're absolutely right. Mine is too. So, no, I'm not ready, man. No.
Again, you're listening to Urban Sports Scene. We have hosted the In-N-Out Sports Show on WOL 1450 AM radio. Coach Butch McAdams on the line. Coach, before we let you get out of here, I don't know if you filled out your bracket yet. I haven't. But if you right now in your mind have a winner, would you share it with our listeners? Who you got winning the tournament?
Okay, and I'll say this for entertainment purposes only. Okay, so don't y'all bet on it because I say it. Because I'm guessing, you know. But if I had to pick a winner right now.
It's tough.
North Carolina.
North Carolina.
I like
Will.
That one, too. I like
Will
that one,
said
too.
The same thing.
I like that one, too.
All right. You
know, North Carolina. But, you know, again, I mean, if either the Spartans or the Wolverines get hot, they could do it. If you know, if Duke continues to play for the next six games at a high level, who's going to beat them? How good is Tennessee? You know what?
I love Tennessee.
We don't know how good Tennessee is.
They play great as a team.
Okay. How good is Auburn? Auburn is talented. But I wouldn't pick them because they're a little too wild for me. Okay. And then the other wild card in terms of could beat some people, but I just don't think they can make it all the way. But no one's talking about Florida State.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put my money on Florida State, but I respect what they do. Murray State.
What about Murray State with that sensational point guard?
With Russell Westbrook 2.0.
Yeah, and we talked about point guard play. And I think that a point guard play is good enough to win two, maybe three games. Uh-huh. But I think they're going to need more once they get past the first week.
Well, Coach, we appreciate having you. Don't be a stranger. I know it's your first time appearing on the Urban Sports Scene. But, again, it's been a pleasure. One of our listeners.
Man, you know what? I respect and I admire what you guys do. Continue to do a great job, and anytime you need me, all you have to do is pick up the phone, and you got me.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. One of our listeners is loving your attack Zion comment, man. He put it out there on social media. You know, Zion is enemy number one around here at this point. But thanks again, Coach. Have a blessed evening. I think we lost him.
We lost him.
But Coach Butch
McAdams. That was great insight, man.
Absolutely. Wisdom from a Hall of Fame coach. Errol Spence, he looked like a number one seed this past weekend.
Ali, host of the Quality Report podcast, will join us to discuss this that fight after the break. Listen to Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces.
Come on, man. And with the local DBC news, LL Cool J with a triumphant comeback. For a solo. But tonight, call it a comeback. I've been here. I'm rocking my pants. What's up with the beat?
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, Ray, and myself, Wally. Right now, I know I had to stall time. Right now, we have host of the Quarterly Report podcast and the homie Armand Lee on the line. What's going on, Armand?
Hey, what's going on, guys, man? How y'all living?
We living good, man. We living good.
My microphone needs Viagra because it keeps going limp. And you know what? You can call me RJ Barrett because my man Zion went down. I had to hold the fort. You know what I mean? We had some technical difficulty. But, hey, you know, we kept it running smooth, man. That's why you on right now, brother.
Hey, man. Y'all know what time it is, man. Anytime.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know how much we have to talk about this fight that just occurred over the past weekend, man. But, you know. We hear that some people show a heart, and that's a moral victory, I guess.
It is a moral victory, man. Errol Spence retained his IBF welterweight title by dominating Mikey Garcia Saturday night. What were your thoughts on the fight, Armand?
You know, Wally and I, we kind of wrapped with it the following night, man. And it was, and you know, we've talked about this in the past, but I think, you know, for people who are really into boxing and really appreciate the sweet science, what you saw was a masterful performance. I'm talking about like a flawless performance in every sense of the word. Mm. I mean, you know, it's funny because in two ways, Errol, it was kind of like his coming out party for people who may not necessarily be like really, really into the sport. Like that performance was kind of like, you know, his 16th chapel. You know what I mean? Like, that was his masterpiece. But at the same time, I feel like we all know Errol is an amazing boxer, an amazing fighter. But because he's such a heavy puncher, people underrate his boxing ability. And last weekend, what you saw was Errol can box his ass off. You know what I mean? Like, there is no question. And that's why I feel he's the second best in the sport, because He could give it to you in any way. You know, obviously we know he is an amazing puncher, an amazing knockout artist. But Mikey, he couldn't, you know, Mikey couldn't even penetrate anything. Like, he couldn't touch him. He couldn't get inside. And then when Errol wanted to turn it on, it was like punching target practice. You know what I mean? So just a masterful performance by, in my opinion, the second best boxer in the sport.
Always great to have you on. I always seem to have 2- and 3-part questions for you. So hanging in with me with this one. First of all, I'm hoping that we can now put to rest the debate that Terrence Crawford might be ahead of Errol Spence somehow, as far as best pound for pound fight. I don't know who you put ahead of him, maybe Lomachenko. But
yeah.
Also, what was your thoughts about Sugar Ray Leonard, our man locally, you know, coming out boldly picking Mikey Garcia, which none of us would have thought that you know, he could, Mikey Garcia could win, but I didn't expect it to be as much of a dominant performance as it was by Errol Spence. You know, just the boxing clinic he put on, you just pointed out. So what was your thoughts on that?
All right, so I'll answer the second one first. I think it kind of plays to kind of what we were just talking about, right? Because it wasn't just Sugar Ray. George Foreman also. I mean, Bam Bam. He was a Boom Boom. I'm sorry. He was on on the broadcast saying that Mancini thought that Mikey was going to win. You know what I mean? So I think that plays a lot into what we were saying, where people didn't respect Earl's boxing pedigree, his boxing acumen. People just thought he was a puncher. And I don't know how anyone, and we're talking about some of the best boxing minds in the world, right? Some of the greatest boxers of all time. You would think they would have a better appreciation. But because Spence is such a dominant boxer, and Golovkin was similar before, like when he first started his knockout streak, before people really, really started to dig in, people just thought of him as a knockout artist. You know what I mean? But you miss just the footwork and how he would stalk you down. And but Earl was different. Earl doesn't stalk like Golovkin did in his prime. Earl just cuts the ring off, and he works his jab and he works his body. And Mikey is one of the best boxers as well. And Mikey was confused. He didn't know when it was coming. He couldn't see the cross. The jab always kept him at bay. And then as soon as he thought that the head punch was coming, Earl would throw a body shot just out of nowhere. I mean, it was just a masterful performance. Now, as it pertains to your other question about Crawford, you know, Terrence Crawford is an amazing boxer. Like, make no mistake. Bud is an amazing fighter. But it's similar to how I feel with Usyk, right? Crawford, before he moved up, was a monster. Couldn't no one at that weight class could stop him. Since Bud has moved up to 147, he hasn't fought anyone. And yeah, he's going to fight Khan in a few weeks, and cool, whatever. But Amir Khan isn't what Amir Khan was in 2010. You know, like, this is a different fighter now. So even when he beats Amir, that's a good fight, but it's not like an elite fighter that he's fought. Like I said, I brought up Oleksandr Usyk. Usyk at a cruiserweight, one of the best fighters in the world, but now he's moving up to heavyweight. So I can't say someone who is moving up in the weight class is better, or who's moving up in the weight class and hasn't fought anyone, or hasn't fought anyone of note, is better than someone who is so established, that is so dominant, that all the other top fighters in his class avoid him, right? Sean Porter doesn't, again, we saw this last week, man. As far as Sean Porter is concerned, Errol Spence's name should be Bloody Mary or Candyman, because he don't ever say his name. He don't ever say his name until he knows that he's going to fight somebody else or Spence is going to fight somebody else, right? Mm-hmm. Once Pacquiao started running around the ring, Sean all of a sudden wants to talk about Spence. That's because he knows he's not going to get that fight now. Mm. But wait if that fight doesn't happen, if for some reason Pacquiao doesn't want the fight, or after that fight, watch. Sean ain't going to be calling out Spence's name again. That's turning off the lights and throwing the water on the mirror. He don't want no parts of Candyman, might as well be Errol Spence Jr.'s name as it pertains to Sean Porter.
Armand, how's it going, man? It's Will. One question for you. How can I put it? Even though Mikey Garcia lost on the scorecard, and I think in the court of public opinion, he wins, right? Because he came up from lightweight. He fought a guy that was much bigger than him, and he still retains his title at the lightweight division. And he gets to go down, and kind of his allure and the allure of Mikey Garcia grew after this fight, even though he was dominated. What do you think is the next steps? How do you think Mikey Garcia rebounds from here?
Well, you know, I think you're 100% right. Like, Mikey was in a position where no matter what happened, no matter the outcome, even if Errol knocked him out in the first round, right, there was no way where Mikey comes out looking bad. You know what I mean? Because especially, you know, in a day where Deontay Wilder runs away from the super fight, right, we don't have enough fighters who welcome the challenge. We don't have enough fighters who want to be great, the way Wally says about Mikey. So there was no negative from a PR standpoint. Now, we don't know the toll it took on Mikey, because again, Errol went to his body a lot. Mikey's face didn't look too beat up, but I mean, you know, Errol's a heavy puncher. So I don't think Mikey's going to take or run into a tough fight in this next fight after he moves down. I think he probably will take a tune-up just to make sure he's okay. Again, man, he got beat for 36 minutes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's going to take its toll on anybody. But maybe it's a pipe dream. Maybe I'm wishing on a star, but I will not give up on my hope that we get a Lomachenko-Mikey Garcia fight. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be important to see what the numbers, when the numbers are released tomorrow night, Wednesday night, to see what the pay-per-view numbers are. But I do think the biggest winner from Saturday could honestly be Mikey Garcia, because Spence's star is what it is at this point. He's about to shoot through the roof, especially with the Pacquiao fight looming. But Mikey, if that fight does draw well, and that crowd, even though it was in Spence's hometown, that was like a 50-50 split for Mikey fans. So Mikey can show off that, yo, I am a large draw myself, and Lomachenko still hasn't fought on paper. So that is an added, you know, feather into the cap. Again, we just got to wait and see what the numbers look like.
Definitely. You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene right now. We have host of the Quarterly Report podcast, Armand Lee, on the line. So, Armand, before I let you go, let our listeners know about, you know, your podcast and how they can hit you up on social media.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Each and every Thursday, make sure you guys tune in to the Quarterly Report podcast. Last week, my guy Wally was on. I'm going to have Wally on. If not next week, man, shortly thereafter. There's so much we got to talk about, but basketball, boxing, football, music, movies, entertainment, fun, all of that we try to incorporate in about an hour, 10 hour to 20 minutes each week, each Thursday. You can make sure you download on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, y'all know, wherever you listen to podcasts, and make sure you tweet at me at Quarterly Show on Twitter. That's Q-U-A-R-T-E-R-L-E-E Show. Check me out.
Hey, Armand, we appreciate you, my man. As always, man.
Hey, man.
Mikey, show out of heart,
though. I love being on the show, man. Appreciate y'all.
No problem. No problem, my man. Again, that's my man, Armand Lee, host of the Quarterly Report podcast. It's about that time now, y'all. It's March Madness. We will fill out our NCAA brackets after breaking this to the Urban Sports Center.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Did a lot of things in my day. I admit it, I don't take back what I say. If I said it, then I meant it. All my life I won a Grammy, but I probably never get it. I ain't never had no trophy or no motherfucking ribbon. Fuck the system, I'm that bend the law, cut the rules. I'm about to risk it all. I ain't got too much to lose. Y'all been eating long enough. It's my turn to cut the food. Pass the plate, win my drink. This my day. Lucky you, hope you do. Woo! Y'all gotta move. Y'all gotta move. Move. Give me some room, give me some room, give me the juice. How about the coupe? How about the coupe? How about a shoot? Y'all gotta move, y'all gotta move. Give me the juice. Back on my bullets, my back to the wall, turn my back on you all and you finish. Back to these bullets, it's back to the job, put my mask out and all of you running. Back on my hood, it's just back to the pushing, these tax and I'm actually pumping. Can't fuck with you rappers, you practically sucking. You might have went platinum, but that don't mean nothing. I'm actually buzzing this time. Straight out the kitchen, I told him the oven is mine. I do not fuck with you guys. If I don't kill you, just know you gon' suffer this time. I ain't no gangster, but I got some bangers, some chains and some blazing, a couple of nines. Choppers and jimmies, a partridge, a petri. My 20s and Christmas was nothing but lies. Born at you hot like a sumo. They say I talk like a chulo. I live in Mars, I'm not Bruno. If you're my duck, call me Cujo. You play your cards, I reverse on you all, and I might just drop out like a uno. Calles de boca, my homie, they call it Obuto, and all of you culo. Step to better the level, I've been together, the ghetto, looking for something I probably can never find now. Sugar relevant, telling the beat die down. The truth is, niggas really want me tied down. I've been alone, and I never needed nobody, just only me and my shawty, I tell you, into the lie down. He bought the money, I never wanted a lifestyle. I just pray to God, I'm a son of a yard right now. I said, ain't no love for the other side, or anyone who ever wants smoke. When I die, I'm going out as an underdog who never lost hope. You in the wrong cab, down the wrong path, the wrong way, wrong road. Snakes in the grass, trying to slither fast, I just bought a fucking lawnmower.
I said a lot of things in my day. I admit it, this is payback in a way. I regret it that I did it. I done won a couple Grammys, but I sold my soul to get them. Wasn't in it for the trophies, just the fucking recognition. Up's the difference, I'm that cracker, been the law, up the rules. Man, I used to risk it all, now I got too much to lose. I've been eating long enough, man, my stomach should be full.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, Ray, and myself, Wally. Okay, it's time to fill out our collaborative March Madness bracket. Let's start with Will, you're choosing the what bracket?
I'm taking the South. I'm taking the Midwest region. Just to let everybody know, each one of us individually will pick a region, and then we will collaborate on the West region. Mm-hmm. I am starting with the Midwest.
All right.
Wally has the East, and Ray has the South.
I got the easy one.
Yeah. Okay, so 1-16, North Carolina, Iona. I'm going with North Carolina.
You got North Carolina? Okay.
8-9, I am going with Washington over Utah State.
Oh. Yeah, okay.
5-12, Auburn versus New Mexico State. I am going with Auburn.
All right.
4-13, Kansas versus Northeastern. I'm going with my alma mater, Northeastern.
Northeastern over Kansas?
Yes,
I am. Okay, Upset City, I feel you.
Number 6, Iowa State.
Ron would say, I don't believe in Bill Self.
Number 11, Ohio State. I'm going with Iowa State.
All right.
Number 3, Houston versus number 14, Georgia State. I'm going with Houston.
All right.
Number 7, Wofford versus Seton Hall, number 10, Seton Hall. I'm going with Wofford. What? Number 2, Kentucky versus Abilene Christian. I'm going with Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Abilene. Ray, did you want to go? Did you want to give your first?
I said that word. Let's
first
that
round.
Works. Yeah.
What did you want me to keep? You want me to keep going?
Here we go. No. I can go. It's just I'm okay with your picks. You were a little safe with it.
Who he picked?
He picked Northeastern, which is crazy. But Seton Hall. Did you see what they did to Georgetown? Even though Georgetown was a bit, you know. Inexperienced, young. I know Coach threw that out the window for the Terrapins. But I have the South region. I have the South region. And UVA, this is not a lock after what happened last year. But I'll take Virginia to beat Gardner-Webb. In the 8-9 matchup, Ole Miss versus Oklahoma. I love Oklahoma's team. They look strong. They're a bit inconsistent, though. So I'm going to go with Ole Miss to win that one. Wisconsin, the number 5 seed the 5th seed, I should say, in the South region versus the 12th seed Oregon Ducks. I'm going to go with Oregon in that one. If you stay up and watch some of these Pac-12 games, you see that Washington and Oregon are actually formidable opponents. Kansas State is the 4th seed going against number 13 UC Irvine, and I'll take UC Irvine in that one. Picking another upset because Kansas State, to me, they look a little vulnerable. And UC Irvine, they can shoot the rock. Villanova, the number 6 seed against St. Mary's. This is the hard one because St. Mary's obviously beat Gonzaga, right? Villanova coming off a championship. They sputtered to the end of the regular season, but then they picked up some momentum, won a Big East title. So I'm going to go with Villanova. I think Jay Wright, one of the top coaches in the country, which has showed over the past 3 seasons. Purdue, Old Dominion. Y'all know I love Purdue. I picked Caleb Swanigan to go to the Final 4 years ago. Didn't work out for me. But I will stick with Purdue to beat Old Dominion. Sorry, VA. Cincinnati and Iowa. Another tough one. I like Cincinnati. I like Houston. I feel like one of these teams, mark my words, out of this American Conference, could make a deep run. I wouldn't be shocked, I'll say, as well as they go home early, either one but or both. But I think the American Conference at the top with those two squads are pretty good. And I like Cincinnati. With that being said, I'm going to pick them to get upset just because the Urban Sports Team bracket. And I'll take Iowa. But then we got Tennessee and Colgate. I love Tennessee. They to me, should have been the number 1 seed. If they beat Auburn, they would have been a number 1 seed in that SEC championship game. So I'm going with Tennessee to beat number 15, Colgate. All right,
Jewis.
Yes, sir.
Are we doing first round?
Yep, doing first round. She'll go.
All right.
So, for me, obviously, Duke versus North Carolina Central or North Dakota State. Doesn't really matter. It's Duke. Matter of fact, it's going to be Duke for a while, but it's Duke right now. So, we want just the first round. Then we got VCU versus UCF. I'm going to go on VCU. Who's the coach of VCU, though? It's not Shaka. It's not Grant. You know what I'm saying?
I have no idea.
They still run that same defense, though, right?
Yeah.
Then I'm going VCU. Then we got Mississippi State versus Liberty. I heard a lot of good things about Liberty, but I'm going to go with the devil I know. I'm going to go with Mississippi State.
Bad pick right there.
Why? What do you like about Liberty?
Nothing. I don't know anything.
5-12.
But I'm 5-12.
5-12.
I know a 5, a 12 always beats a 5.
I know, right? V-Tech versus St. Louis. Obviously, you know, V-Tech. Buzz Williams is the coach, right?
Yes.
V-Tech having a good year. 4th seed, 13th seed. Huh? He sweats a lot. Yeah, I'm going to go with V-Tech. I'm going to go with V-Tech 4th seed. Maryland versus Belmont or Temple. This is going to be interesting. If Temple wins tonight, I believe Temple is playing tonight. That's a team that I kind of think that can beat Maryland. But you think so too? Belmont, I mean, tonight?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Maryland. I'm going to go home. I'm going with the home team. I'm going to go with Maryland. But it'll be tough. It'll definitely be tough in Maryland. You already heard what Coach said about Maryland. He wasn't the happiest about Turgeon. Third seed LSU is taking on Yale. LSU. Louisville, 7th seed Louisville versus Minnesota, 10th seed. I'm going to go with Louisville. Michigan, 2 seed versus Bradley. I'm going to go with Michigan.
Okay. All right, now let's go with the West region. I guess I'll start it off.
Yeah, sure.
1 versus 16. Gonzaga versus Fairleigh Dickinson. Fairleigh Dickinson, yeah, because they just won the game.
Yeah.
I'm going with Gonzaga.
All right. Gonzaga. All right. So I'll go second. Syracuse versus Baylor. That 2-3. Both of them play the 2-3 defense. I'm going to go with Syracuse.
It depends on who's playing that game. Is Tyus back in that game? Tyus Battle? Is Tyus Battle back? For Syracuse, if he's not back, I can't go with Syracuse. Let me check his injury status.
That's Wally. This is Wally's pick, though.
Oh. This is Wally's pick. You hear that arrogance, Will?
This is Wally's pick, bro.
Pick,
not Ray Jeezy. I'm just saying, though. I got all respect for you, though, Ray.
You should. You should, brother. I can't remember last time you picked, like, an amazing bracket.
Me either. I can't either. You know what?
Tyus Battle is back, bro. You good.
So
you're
good,
safe.
Man. Good. Thank you. Appreciate it. Stop doubting my hustle, bro. So you're next, Ray.
I don't know. Lex on TV right now, though. He's sitting behind this Fairleigh Dickinson play. He got a little bush. It's my turn again?
Yeah, it's your turn.
Okay. So, again, I'm picking from the South bracket.
No, you're picking this way. We're doing, like, back and forth. We're doing from the West.
Oh. Man, y'all confusing me, bro. Okay, so I'm picking between Marquette and Murray State.
Yeah.
All right. Just for the simple fact that Ja Morant is a star and we need star power in the tournament, I'm going with Murray State. Although, if you've seen Steve Wojciechowski's team this season, they were pretty much strong all the way up until the latter part of the regular season.
Yeah.
But I still got to go with Murray State.
Okay. 13, Vermont versus Buffalo. No, excuse me. Number 4, Florida State versus Vermont. I'm going with Florida State. All
right.
Let's see. What's my pick?
You got 6.
I got 6?
You got 6. Buffalo versus 11, Arizona State.
St. John's isn't that strong. Arizona State is in the Pac-12, which is a horrible conference. I'm going Buffalo. Buffalo was a good – Has a lot of good victories on their resume, actually, in terms of beating major schools.
Okay.
You pick Buffalo?
Yeah, Buffalo.
Okay. So.
Number 3, Texas Tech versus Northern Kentucky.
I'll take Texas Tech to beat Northern Kentucky.
Okay. Number 7, Nevada versus number 10, Florida. I'm going with number 7, Nevada.
I like that pick. Like that pick, Ramon Sessions, stand up.
Okay.
Nevada.
All right,
Wally, it's on you, sir.
Give me Michigan, man. Michigan versus Montana. Yeah, Michigan. All day, every day. Bird gang.
All right. Now we go to the Midwest, my bracket, second round. North Carolina, Washington. I got North Carolina. I got to revisit my 5-12 pick. I had Auburn, but I'm going back out of Auburn. I'm going with New Mexico State, and New Mexico State versus Northeastern. Northeastern makes it to the Sweet 16.
This is comical. Yo, I think Northern Kentucky got a better shot than they do. But okay, if it happens, man, that'll be awesome. So and I know you go to Texas.
What do you pick?
He just picked Northeastern to go to.
Northeastern to make it to the Sweet 16.
Can Northeastern be the next George Mason?
Iowa State versus Houston, I have Houston. And Wofford versus Kentucky, I have Kentucky.
So you got Houston.
So I have North Carolina, Northeastern, Houston, and Kentucky.
Right. And Wofford may put Kentucky out. Let's see. All right, it's on me, right?
Yep.
All right, so in the spirit of the tournament, it's either going to be Oklahoma or Ole Miss against UVA, and I think this is where UVA gets bounced. Actually, you know what? I'm not going to do that this year. I'm going to pick UVA. They should be hungry after what happened last year. Tony Bennett, got to have your team ready to play. I'll take UVA. My bad. Oregon versus UC Irvine. Here we go. Two teams, West Coast. UC Irvine will not be afraid. And they shouldn't be, but that doesn't mean they'll win. I'll take Oregon to win that matchup. Next up, Villanova versus Purdue. This is a tough one. I will take the Boilermakers simply because their defense is a strong point. And Iowa versus Tennessee, I got to go with Tennessee.
All right. Let's see. In the East region, in D.C., number one, Duke is taking on VCU, which is the eighth seed in my bracket.
Go harder, Pate.
I have Duke. No, taking up. Come on now. No, I got Duke. Then in the five.
They're going to be at the game.
I know, right? In the 5-4 matchup, it will be Mississippi State versus Virginia Tech. I got Virginia Tech winning that game. Maryland, the sixth seed, will be taking on LSU, and Maryland gets eliminated by LSU to advance to Sweet 16. Then you have the seventh seed, Louisville, taking on the two seed, Michigan. Take on Michigan. Michigan advances to Sweet 16 as well.
Okay, so now the West region.
Write my down, though. You don't got shit was in there?
Nah, I didn't write them all down, but I'll just write down my bracket. Gonzaga versus Syracuse. I'm gonna go with Gonzaga. I'm tempted to go with Syracuse. With battle back, I'm tempted to go there, but I'm gonna go with Syracuse. I'm gonna go with Gonzaga. No, go. No, it's your pick.
Oh, you're from the West. Okay, go ahead. Let me go. It's my turn, right?
My bad. You picking Gonzaga?
Yep.
Okay, it's my pick. Awesome. I get to choose the team I want to choose. Give me Murray State to knock out Florida State.
Real cool, do real things. I was waiting for that one. I wanted that pick.
You heard what Coach said. He said Florida State could mess around and go to the Final Four.
They could.
He said that. He did say that Murray State could win like two games, so just in case, I'm just saying.
All right, well, good counterpunch. Now I need to look and see what my pick is, brother. So until then, the listeners will just have to hear my voice. I'm wondering what people are thinking out there listening to this because right now I think our bracket is shaping up to be decent, but, you know. Everybody always has their own opinion.
I know, right?
Okay, so we have the Buffalo Bills. I mean, no, I'm just kidding. Buffalo, which, Buffalo, Vermont. Could you imagine as a kid growing up that would be a first round matchup? Like, seriously. It just shows how far basketball has come, college basketball as far as parity goes. Anyway, Buffalo and Texas Tech, I'm going with the Red Raiders.
Then, Will, your matchup would be Nevada versus.
Oh, give me Michigan.
Michigan, Will have Michigan.
Yep.
So now we're back on Will Bracket.
Back on the Midwest. Michigan's I know this might be a little bit hard for people to follow.
I know, right?
this might be a little bit hard for people to follow if we're jumping around from bracket to bracket, but we're just trying to do it sequentially by each round. All right.
Go ahead. Say it for the people. You're listening to Urban Sports Scene. Right now, we're making our picks sequentially. Got the momentum now. You got the momentum, brother. You got to kill it now. They're bleeding.
North Carolina versus Northeastern.
I can't do this.
North Carolina versus Northeastern. I'm going with North Carolina.
Oh, Northeastern, their run ends, the magical run ends.
One shining moment.
It's getting easier to pick Houston these games.
Houston versus Kentucky. I'm gonna go with Houston.
We got a problem, Houston. It's either gonna be them or Cincinnati. One of them gonna make a run in that American. All right, it's my turn. Over back in the South bracket. Remember, doing it sequentially. UVA versus Oregon. I'm going to go with the Ducks. I don't really want to pick UVA to go far at all, but I wouldn't be shocked if they go to the Final Four. More power to them. London Parentes, light-skinned point guards. Bring it back. Purdue versus Tennessee. I love Tennessee, so I'm sticking with Tennessee to make it to the Elite Eight with Rick Barnes.
Should be no surprise. Duke versus Virginia Tech. Duke. You know what I'm saying? LSU versus Michigan, the 2 seed. Give me Michigan. Oh, no, is that Michigan State? I'm sorry. Michigan State. That's Michigan State. I'm sorry. Michigan State.
That matchup right
Michigan State versus Duke. Excuse me.
I'm going to pick LSU to go to Final Four.
Hmm?
I'm gonna pick LSU on my own. I'm gonna pick them.
Oh, are you really?
They lost their teammate.
All right, now we're in the West. Will T, you have Gonzaga versus Murray State.
Murray State.
Murray State. Okay. All right.
I have Texas Tech versus Michigan. And got to go with the Wolverines. I'm going to play it safe here. I just feel like they're going to be a tough team to put out, man. Michigan should be in the Final Four.
Yeah, I think
Michigan versus LSU in that Final Four.
All right, so.
LSU have to beat Duke, though, which is stupid. So maybe I need to take that. Maybe I got to take that back. LSU can make it to the Elite Eight, and they'll play hard. Like I said, they overcome a lot of adversity.
So we got Murray State versus Michigan, right?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
So Wally, since you didn't pick, we're going to let you pick who comes out and represents the West. Go.
Oh.
There's no way Murray State can be
Michigan, man. Oh,
okay. That's not Cinderella dash, eventually. It's over.
Murray State. It's going to be exciting to watch them.
Michigan is the first team we have going in our Final Four.
Yes.
All right, so now we go back to me, and I have North Carolina versus Houston, and I have North Carolina to make it to the Final Four.
I'm telling you, we got Beeline, Izzo, Coach K, Roy Williams, just all-time great coaches, all vying for these Final Four spots, and at least two of them is going to make it. All right, my turn. I'm back in the South. I got Oregon versus Tennessee. Who'd have figured to go to the Final Four? And I'm going to go with Rick Barnes and Tennessee to make it to the Final Four, baby, against UNC. Oh, yeah. So talk about Rick Barnes. Last time we saw him in the Final Four was when? What was his point guard's name again? T.J. Ford. That's what it was.
I want T.J. Ford. It wasn't. What's the name?
In the Final Four?
T.J. Augustine. Right? He didn't make the Final Four. With
yeah, him, right? No, he made Elite Eight. He lost to Derrick Rose. Yeah. The Derrick Rose-led Memphis Tigers and their SAT scores. All right.
Duke versus Michigan State. Coach K owns Izzo. Yeah, I'm going Duke. Yes.
Right, we got our Final Four.
So we got our Final Four.
Oh, yeah. We can work backwards. See how hard it
is. So we got Duke representing the East. We got Michigan representing the West. We got Tennessee representing the South. And North Carolina representing the Midwest. So how are we going to do this, fellas?
Who wants to go first? I'll let y'all two go first.
You know who I'm going to pick.
So
Tennessee versus North Carolina.
Yeah, go ahead. You got
North Carolina.
Yeah, North Carolina.
So UNC. Duke championship game. That's what it's looking like right now.
Wow. Who you picking?
We got to pick Duke.
Yeah, Duke.
Can't go against Duke. So
Wally, out of those two,
championship.
Out of those two, you pick our champion for us.
Oh, I'm going Duke.
Okay. Duke it is.
I think it'll be a tough game, though. I think it'll be a tough game. It's hard to beat a team three times in the season. That's the only reason why.
They're going to split at the wrong time.
Exactly. That's a,
this is not going to happen, by the way.
This is a great bracket. Look at George, man. He's like, if Tennessee plays UNC in the Final Four, they have no chance because Rick Barnes goes to pieces every time he sees Carolina Blue.
I love it. I love it. I like Rick Barnes, though. But you might be right. We'll have to see hypothetically. But I don't know if this is really going to play out. You know, this is all
this is just us having fun.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
But let me get both of you guys pick for a Final Four for your own individual bracket.
Sheesh,
it's like that.
You already
You already picked yours?
Yeah, I did mine already.
My Final Four is the exact same Final Four.
Tennessee too?
Yeah.
Wow.
I have Tennessee beating VA, but I have VA going farther.
Okay.
I have Tennessee knocking out. Yeah, I have Tennessee knocking out VA.
Not bad at all.
I have UNC. I think UNC is the second best team in the country. I mean, when everyone's healthy, actually, arguably, they could be the best team in the country. But again, I told you, it's hard to be a team three times in a season.
If I had to pick from this bracket, I would just replace UNC with Houston. Y'all know I grew up rooting for UNC, but I like that Houston matchup. Houston is gritty. They're tough. Carolina's got senior leadership. I won't be shocked at all if Carolina were to make it to the Final Four and win and even beat Duke, because they are probably the best team in the country when you factor in experience. That's what they have over Duke, is the experience factor. Duke has obviously four freshmen in their starting lineup, so that would be the biggest advantage. But this is cool. I would have everybody except for North Carolina. I would pick Houston there because I like that matchup. But again, you know, 85%, there's a 15% chance I might be wrong. Thank you, people. Ray is now leaving the building.
The only, I guess for me, if you twisted my arm, the only change I would make is I would select Florida State over Michigan.
Yeah.
To represent the West. And I would possibly select Purdue to come out of the South.
Man, Syracuse got something to say about it. Because that Gonzaga-Syracuse matchup looked real scary in that second round.
It does.
I think Gonzaga, if they can get past the first two rounds, they can beat anybody. And we saw how they played against Duke when Duke was healthy. And, you know, it's something about being well-coached and having, you know, upperclassmen balling for you, going against a young team like Duke. They can give Duke some problems. They did match up against a Duke team.
The second round matchup that I'm interested to see is Duke versus VCU. If VCU still comes in and they press the whole 94 feet? I think it's 94 feet. Duke, I don't believe, has the ball handlers to handle a team that's going to press them consistently out the gate.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, I'm going to fill out two. And I'm going to take LSU, like I said, off raw, just emotions of the type of season they had, man, with the adversity they've had to overcome, losing their teammate in the summer and then losing their coach to an investigation is crazy. I think these guys are going to come and play some inspired basketball. That could be their downfall, too, just going through too much. But I do think that Duke is the best team in the country, just sheer talent.
Actually, George just tweeted this. He said tweeted Ray, actually said, Ray, you and I can't read it right now. Ray, he tweeted you, though. Okay. I can see it. I can see it. He said, you and I are on the same page with Syracuse being a big chance to upset Gonzaga.
Yeah, I know. I love Syracuse.
I know you do. You pick Syracuse a lot. And Melo, the other point guard, I will not mention his name. Anyway, man, appreciate you all for listening, especially you, George. We'll see. I messed it up. Don't worry about it. You been listening to the Urban Sports Team.
For ages.
You did.
Deuces.
Hey, Mecca, lead us out, big homie.
Reggie Perry. To the swag.